sense of anticipation. Wasn't worship beautiful? Isn't it awesome to come into God's presence and just to be with him? In amongst the blusters of the day and the chaos that is the preparations for Christmas. Love it though we do. It's just lovely to just relax in God's presence. My name's Amanda. For those of you that are visiting this morning, it's great to have you here. And I'm one of the pastors here and just really want to extend a special welcome to you today. It's great that you've come in to join us. And we just pray that whatever's spoken this morning will go deep down into each of our hearts today. Does that sound good? And I believe God's going to do mighty things in us this morning if we let him and if we give him that space. Before we start, I just want to head up two things. Next Sunday morning at our first service, this 9:45 service, our children will be bringing their form of worship to God in our nativity service. It will be completely family and kids focused, which is great. However, we also recognise if that's not quite your style, you're very welcome to come to our second service, which will be awesome as well. Not as awesome, I have to say. A wee bit biased being the kids pastor. However, it will be as is this morning. It will be a lovely, gentle time. But there's your two options. And on Sunday night, not to be outdone by anybody, the youth are having their Christmas service as well. So we've got a fantastic cross-spectrum of celebrations next week. Sound good? Okay. Shall we pray and then we'll get into the word together? Let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence here this morning. And Father God, we thank you that you chose to rescue us through your Son Jesus. We thank you that as we focus on Christmas, we can recognize you sending yourself in the form of man, of Jesus Christ, into this world. We thank you, Jesus, that you were here. We thank you that we can look to you for examples of how to live, for your leading, for your guidance in our lives. And so this morning, Lord God, we just offer you our whole service to you. And we ask that it be pleasing in your sight. In your sight, Father God, that you'll be well blessed by all that goes on here today. Amen. I've got a different mic on because I've got glasses and the Who Do You Know What's It Britney mic doesn't work when you wear glasses. So if you can hear me, does it sound good at the back? We're off then. If you've got your Bibles, could you turn with me please to the book of Mark? We're going to look at Jesus, Prince of Peace, this morning. And we know Jesus is our Prince of Peace, but what does that look like in a reality on a day-to-day basis? So we're going to have a look in Mark chapter 4. And it's verse 35 to 41. It's Jesus calms the storm. Very appropriate considering on Thursday morning we had a hurricane here, did we not? Who was without power? You see, you should live in Cambus Barren. We had power all the time. It was great. But it's good it's all switched back on. But it was some morning, wasn't it? So keep the sound of that storm in your mind right now as we read this word. The battering of the wind against the windows. The trees getting blown, the wheelie bins being chased down the street. Just think of that noise and that chaos that happened as traffic was blown up in the air and people were killed subsequently this week. We need to keep that volume in our head as we read this. Ready? So on that night, when evening came, he said to them, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd, they took him along with them in the boat, just as he was, and the other boats were with him. And there arose a fierce gale of wind, and the waves were breaking over the boat so much that the boat was already filling up. Jesus himself was in the stern, asleep on the cushion, and they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he got up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Hush, be still." And the wind died down. And it became perfectly calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They became very much afraid and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" Let's just pick this to bits as we go through before we apply it to our lives, okay? Verse 35, Jesus says, "Let us go." Let us go. It's an invitation to the disciples. The moving of one location to another. He invites them. He doesn't say, we're going to go over there, chaps, and I'll meet you at the other side. I'll see you in a few hours and we'll get there. He invites them to come into the boat with them and to travel with Jesus from one place to another. There is complete certainty in Jesus' mind that he's going to make it to the other side, is there not? It's not a, I'll see you in 5 minutes, I'll catch you later, boys. It's, come with me. And what did the disciples do? They were obedient. They had no quiver. They didn't say, we'll go and hold a committee meeting and get back to you in 5 days or 5 months. They didn't say, let's just go and pray about that one and consider. They immediately said, right, let's go. And they immediately stepped into that boat. There was no humming and hawing about it. They got into the boat with Jesus. He was there. He obeyed them. And then the storm rose up, just like Thursday. Not a wee gentle breeze that's all romantic as we sit at the seaside. None of that. We're talking gale force winds. Now, these guys were seasoned travelers. If there were frequent sailor miles, they had them to the max. They were used to being in this environment, were they not? And yet, even this storm filled them with fear. Even this storm panicked them, and they really thought they were dying, did they not? And then the major insult was that Jesus was asleep. Asleep! Not even just having a wee sort of doze in the corner, asleep, outright. And I love the way in Mark it even says, he was asleep in the stern on the cushion. It was like, he wasn't just there, he was actually there on the cushion. And you can't quite comprehend why Jesus would even do that. You can imagine the panic and the fear. And he had the audacity to be asleep, not just on the ground, but on a cushion. He was comfortable. He was safe. And they were burling around like this, and their hair was going, the wind swept and interesting. And they really thought they were dying, didn't they? You just wish you were wind swept and interesting, don't you, Ian? He's sitting chuckling. Oh, to have that privilege. But they were scared stiff. And he had the audacity in their minds to be asleep. What was their perception of Jesus? That he didn't care about them? That he was completely detached from reality? That he had abandoned them completely? That he lacked care, emotion, in fact, any reaction whatsoever to what was going on? I suspect that's maybe what they were thinking. Jesus, do you not care that we're perishing? Not, excuse me, Lord. Hello, we've got a bit of a problem. But Jesus, being Jesus, had complete faith in his Father. He oozed peace out of every pore of his being. He had complete confidence. And no doubt, no need to doubt, that they wouldn't make it to the other side. He knew that this was going to be okay. So we've got complete poles apart reaction to the whole situation. The disciples had not yet grasped fully who Jesus was, had they? They were perishing. To their minds, they were dying now. They were being killed now. It wasn't perhaps later, it was this moment we are drowning as the boat's filling up with water. And Jesus just stands up, hush, be still. And then peace fell. How amazing. By lunchtime on Thursday, that hurricane had completely stilled, hadn't it? And it's so hard to comprehend or even remember what it was like only 3 or 4 hours earlier here. It was wild all night. And when peace comes, that fades into the distance, doesn't it? As we're absorbed in peace, and that's what happened then. Then Jesus says to them, why are you afraid? Why do you still have no faith? Now I thought, why would they have no faith? They had seen already, and I listed them. The disciples had witnessed Jesus heal crowds of people with various diseases. He had seen a demon-possessed man be set free. They had seen a paralytic man. Remember, the roof fell in, all this rubble round about him. They had witnessed this paralytic man be healed and set free. They had listened to his teachings of the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. They'd sat at his feet and listened to his teaching. They had listened to his teaching of the kingdom of God through all parables. And they'd even seen a man raised from the dead. And yet they still had no faith, or reduced faith at that moment. Bizarre, but real. They still hadn't got enough faith. And when the storm was calmed, then they were really afraid. Then they questioned, who is this Jesus that even the storms are calmed when he speaks? This morning, I believe, Jesus has an invitation for each and every one of us to move from one location to the next, just as he invited the disciples along. He's calling us to move forward to him, to move closer to him, to come higher in him, to be promoted, to be bolder, to be more courageous, to be more like him. That's, I believe, Jesus' invitation to each of us here today. The journey will look different for each one of us. It may be an emotional journey. It may be a physical healing journey. It may be the restoration of a broken relationship, or maybe the breaking of unhealthy influences in our lives. But that's each of our personal journey. It may be just the getting through the next few months. Perhaps for you, that's a journey in itself. It will look different, but the Holy Spirit is going to bring to our minds just now, I believe, the wee areas he's wanting us to move forward in. The journey he is inviting us to take with him. Come with me, and we will go to that next destination. We go with him. And that's so important. Whatever journey the Lord takes us on, he goes with us. He doesn't abandon us. He doesn't leave us high and dry. He doesn't leave us to drown. He takes us with us. The question is, do we have courage to accept that invitation this morning? Our journey has never promised to be smooth or uncomplicated, is it? The disciples weren't promised a smooth ride on the boat. Far from it, is what happened. But just because Jesus is leading us forward, we shouldn't be lulled into a false sense of security. It'll be fine. It'll all be okay. We'll manage. We'll get there. It'll be cool. Actually, sometimes do you ever feel you're never going to get there? Do you feel, actually, this is far from cool? And whose bright idea was this to take me on the journey in the first place? That, I think, is the reality of life. But the truth is, God is faithful. And yes, at times our journey can be exciting and awesome and we're moving forward. But at times it's just plain hard slog. And it's nose to the grindstone. And it's physically taking one step in front of the other. But God is faithful. God is faithful. Jesus did not hop out the boat and leave the disciples to go on with it. He stayed in the boat. He stays in our journey with us. Then the storms of life kick in. We start the journey and the storms kick in. The last 7 years for us have been a trial as a family of five. The first stage of coming home from France 7 years ago now was having two houses, no job, one baby and two children going into school, and a house half the size of the one that we'd lived in when we were abroad. It was a nightmare. Now, women, you know that we like to have our space, and we like to have order, and we like to have everything kind of sorted around the house. This was far from it. This was chaos. And every time I turned round, Tim was right in my face, because there was physically no space for him to go, the husband. It was just we were always together. And love him though I do, very much. It's also really nice to have our space, is it not? Time just to regroup. There was none of that. It was chaos. The second stage then, moving through here, that was God's choice. He said, I am moving you to my chosen place where you will flourish. So the journey began. We'd sold two houses now. We were buying another one. We were on the move again. But God's choice and the peace that comes from knowing that God has taken us forward is awesome. Doesn't make the journey any easier, but the peace is there. All five of us have been through, and I'm not going to go through it, it's no point, but all five of us have been through extreme trials and difficulties in the last 7 years, without a doubt. And I'm here as a testimony to tell you, we have made it to the other side. We have made it to the other side, and you too will make it to the other side. I'm here to testify God is faithful. He does hear the God help me prayers, because that's all you can see. He's there when you're weeping in your bed. He's there when you're banging your head against the wall thinking this cannot actually be real. He's there when your kids are brokenhearted and you as the woman in your family are coping with that. He is there when you're coping with a husband that's unhappy in his work. He's there when he's made redundant and you have to support him. He's there when you are moving house. He's there when you're going through the nightmare that is life at times. God is faithful. And you will make it to the other side. But the precious moments of prayer that I found with one or two others that I could trust were invaluable. And those to me were the moments when the disciples cried out to Jesus. Those were the moments where someone got in the boat with me and wept with me. Where someone said, actually, this does suck and it's not fair. And together we prayed to the Lord. If we didn't have family and close friends to take us through that journey, God alone knows where we would end up, have ended up. I don't know, but God is faithful. And his plans far exceed where we believe we're headed to, go far beyond all that. Some verses that God reminded me of, I wanted to share with you, because it may be that these will help bring peace to you in whatever situation you're finding just now. Psalm 4. To me, it's a cycle of crying out to God, feeling peace, experiencing rest, and having your faith increased. And it's an ongoing cycle that we go through, is it not? Yeah? We cry out, and then the peace comes, and you think, right, okay, we can keep going. And then the faith is built up again. So listen. Let me just pick some bits out that helped. Crying out to God, answer me when I call you, O God of my righteousness. You have relieved me in my distress. Be gracious to me and hear my prayer. Then verse 3, but now that the Lord has set apart the godly man for himself, the Lord hears when I call to him. Tremble and do not sin. Meditate on your heart. Feel the peace. Meditate on your heart until upon your bed and be still. Offer sacrifices of righteousness and trust the Lord. Verse 8. In peace I will both lie down and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. Verse 1 of 5. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my groaning. Hear the sound of my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray. In the morning, O Lord, you will hear my voice. In the morning I will order my prayer to you and eagerly watch. Verse 7. But as for me, by your abundant loving kindness, I will enter your house at your holy temple and I will bow in reverence for you. Praise, truth, assurance comes up when we just cry out. And do you know, to read these words and to understand really that the Lord understood completely really lifted me. And in those moments, have courage, turn to the Word. You might find something just jumps up and gives you hope. I was frequently reminded that the Lord in Gethsemane, he wept before the Father. How alone did Jesus feel? He had a horrendous journey ahead of him. But he knew through obedience he had to go through that, and he wept. So in those moments when we're weeping on our own, God hears you. Jesus has completely been there before you. Matthew 6:25 says, and let me just turn to that now. So we've cried out, we've received our peace, and I just want to read this to you. It talks about cure for anxiety, you know, consider the lilies of the field and how they're so righteous. And then verse 25, or verse 32 says, "For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows what you need in all these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." That's all God asks. God just asks that we just serve him, that we look to him, that we look to his word, and he will sort the rest. And that reading, that God knows what you need. Amazing. Jesus knew the disciples needed peace instilled into them. He knew they needed the storm calmed, because they must have seen complete chaos when he woken up. Do you not think? Whoa, what happened? It was calm when I left, and suddenly all this is broken loose. Hush, be still. And the disciples got a grip of that. They saw faith being instilled firsthand. The storms are painful in life, but they test our level of faith in God. And they're used not only to reveal more of God's character to us, but to reveal our own character to us. To reveal to us the things that do make us go a bit pear-shaped, that do harass us. Being in the potter's hands at times is painful, but we can be certain if we let him, he will mould us more into his image. If each of us are vessels that God has made, sometimes the purpose for that vessel changes, does it not, as he moves us on to the next stage. And that vessel has to be squashed down. And boy, is that painful, having everything stripped off, and to be laid bare before God and say, right, who am I? How do you want me to function? What do you want me to be? How do I be more like you? That's painful. And we're beautiful vessels. But I believe God says, I have an even greater plan for you. So I must remold you into an even more beautiful vessel fit for the next stage of your journey. Our shape must be altered. Our shape needs to be altered. And the squashing and the poking and the prodding and the carving, the breaking off is painful and uncomfortable and downright unpleasant at times and scary. But there's a purpose to it, isn't there? And it's when we get to the other side that we see that purpose has come to pass. There are definitely opportunities in life for us to shout up, wake up, Jesus, do you not care that I'm perishing? And God wants us to shout those moments. Sitting all quiet and being, oh yes, life's tough, is not very glorifying to God, but actually crying out to him is a strength. Crying out to him and saying, I need more of you, God. God's like, yes, let me step in beside you and let me build you up and bring you closer to where you need to be. Then Jesus' peace comes. Jesus is my true source of peace, and God is faithful, and we will make it to the other side. Everyone in this room, I believe, will be going through a journey of some point, if not just now. Maybe you've completed one, perhaps you're embarking one, or you're in the middle of the storm. I think if we were to maybe cast an anonymous poll, the majority of us would raise our hands and say, actually, I'm struggling just now. And coming to church with our smiles and looking smart is not hiding it. It's called survival, folks, isn't it? There are moments where we can sit and look a mess in our jammies and our makeup's running and we're crying. But actually, there are also moments where God says, get up, put your armor on, step out, be brave, be courageous, I'm with you. And I'm going to take you forward. And that, I think, is a testimony as to why we're here today. We are up. We are upright. The enemy will not lock us down. He will not have the final say. We've read the end of the book. God is God. God sent Jesus so we can have that peace in us to help us get up and fight to the next stage. The mental turmoil adds tension within, so we must be careful that we don't let go of our peace, because we can quickly lose sight of the bigger picture. Why are we here? Where are we headed to? Recall the past times when the Lord has faithfully led you through trials. Right now, just think. When did the Lord lead you through a trial last? When was the last time he sent someone to help you just when you needed them? I can remember coming home from school when I was 13 and finding my grandma flat on the floor. She had MS and she'd fallen and she'd really gashed her head. And right outside our house, before I opened the door, was a guy who was one of the elders in our church. He was a leader in the church we were at the time. And he was sitting there waiting. My mum was a teacher. She was due home at the same time. Family visit. And we opened the door, and he was there. He was about 7 foot tall to me, because I was little. And there was my grandma on the floor. And we scooped her up, we cleaned her up, we phoned, and mum arrived, and we got the ambulance or the doctor or whatever it was. I don't remember. But God sent him at exactly the right moment. When did God send somebody to help you when you needed them? When did God send someone with a magazine you needed to stop, sit and read, behave, stop? When did he send someone to bring you a meal when you needed it? Or just knock on the door, how are you doing? I've just been thinking about you. Or a wee text, just praying for you today. These are God moments where he's coming into your world to remind you who he is and where he is. When did he last heal you of your past hurts and illnesses? When did he heal you of the little things, the big things? Perhaps you're still waiting for the big things. That's okay. But he's been faithful. So let's just give him space and see what happens. When did he sit with you and weep? When did he wipe the tears from your eyes? Maybe you were physically alone, but Jesus was right there beside you. Perhaps it was the moment where you clung to a friend and you wept together. Jesus is weeping with you. When did he wipe your tears and instill peace back into you? When did he send you that verse out the word, like I got from Psalms, I'm listening, I understand, I've been there, I understand, I've heard you, I've wiped the tears from your eyes. That's God. That's God being God. When did he whisper peace into your soul? When, after praying with somebody, did you just feel peace? Did you allow God those moments? Those are the moments, people, that will carry us through to the next stage of your journey. And the storm may be breaking out, and you may feel that you're coming to the end of your tether, but cling to those moments, because those are faith-building moments. The disciples failed wholeheartedly on that. We don't need to. We really don't need to follow their example. We have been through life up till now. We know God's faithfulness. We've seen the end. We see that sin is conquered. We have nothing to fear. But we do at times, don't we? But cling to those moments of faith-building moments. The breaking point that the disciples came to gave Jesus a chance to command the storm to be at peace. Likewise, reaching breaking point on our journey and admitting that we're struggling or drowning is incredibly powerful. It's the point where Jesus can come in and bring his awesome peace deep within us. Jesus is our Prince of Peace. We celebrate that at Christmas. Those moments where we cry out to him is when he can come in and breathe peace into us. Here's a question. When life is a bit hectic and you feel that it's all going a bit pear-shaped at home or you've had a really busy week, what do you do to unwind? What are some of the things you like to do to unwind? Could it be going for a walk? Could it be just watching rubbish on the telly? Could it be going to cook a meal? Could it be just sleeping? Could it be reading a really trashy novel? Just something to restore your batteries. Not spiritual, I'm talking about physical now. When Chloe and I, my daughter, have had a week of it, and we want to have our girl time, we tend to put on maybe comfy, not jammies, I don't do jammies in the day, but comfy clothes, big comfy socks, a big padded blanket, you know, a big fleecy blanket. We get the hot chocolate, we get the nail polish, you could tell me, girl. The nail polish, the hot chocolate, the marshmallows, the files, and then we watch QVC Beauty Channel. Oh. Who says that's not from God? Oh, it's fabulous. And we watch Leighton Denny Nails, and we're watching, you know, getting their facials done, and we're watching all this fake suntan stuff and eye tweeze. It's brilliant. And do you know what? Those moments, me and my daughter together, are our recharging moments. Yeah? Or we go shopping. Your choice, Chloe. Which shops do you want to go to? I regret it sometimes. But off we go to the shop. No, I don't. But then we sit together, and she'll have a hot chocolate and a coffee, and we'll just chat. That's what Jesus wants with us. He wants us to come to Him when we're having hectic lives and we just need a pause moment. We need a recharge. He wants to sit with us under the blanket with the hot chocolate and the marshmallows or whatever you do. He wants to meet us in those moments and harness us, suspend us in that precious moment of time of peace and tranquility. And from there, we carry on to the next journey. Sound good? How many peaceful moments have you had of late? I've had a nightmare of a week speaking Jesus, Prince of Peace. It's been awful from Monday to Saturday night. A whole raft of things. And I have to confess, I have lost my peace at times. I've lost my rag at times too, but I've definitely lost my peace at times. But that's the reality of life, people. We can't stand and say we're perfect. But finding those moments, I feel it's like putting on, I said this to some people this week, I think peace is like putting on your comfy Uggs, yeah, or your old tracksuit, or that jumper that's all shaken, misshapen out of place, and you put it on, and you feel comfortable, you feel cozy, you feel secure. That's peace. And then you face the world in that cocoon of peace as it all happens round about us. We stay in that peace, in that moment, in your comfy boots or your jammies or whatever suits you. That's peace. And that comfortableness takes us forward. Hold on to them. They're valuable. So when we confess that we need the Lord and we need Him in greater measure in our lives, we are recharged by Him, restored and strengthened, continue to move to the next leg of our journey. Peace is given space within us and our balance between fighting to strive and moving in faith is readdressed. Sometimes it's just nose to the grind, but we can readdress that with peace and faith, giving us strength. And from here we know God is God in all circumstances. In conclusion, we are celebrating Jesus coming into this world. Jesus in Isaiah talks about as being our Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Heavenly Father, Prince of Peace. Is He your Prince of Peace today? The only peace we can experience in our circumstances can come from Jesus. Only when we come to Him and say, Lord, just help. I'm weary of struggling. I'm weary of trying. Just help. That is the only time Jesus can bring us peace. True peace in our hearts can only come from accepting Him as our Saviour. Do you know, if you haven't done that yet this morning, or maybe you're needing to readdress your relationship with the Lord, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus, because it's only through Him can we experience true peace and salvation and restoration before the Father. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. We can only access the Father through the Lord Jesus. And then we can stand before the Father, righteous, made whole, spotless, because we're covered in the blood of Christ. We can stand before our Maker. Do you know the films Make Peace with Your Maker? It says sometimes before they take out the assassin, takes out the enemy. Make peace with your Maker this morning. Don't wait for the crunch time. How about today? How about today? We mentioned earlier we've got a prayer team. And if you wouldn't mind just singing that song that we talked about earlier, please, now. If we can just have some time to assess where God's taken us this morning. And if you need prayer, for goodness sake, grab it, folks. Grab it. If not this morning, make a time with somebody to spend time with them and just... someone you can trust, who's not going to judge you, who's not going to say, well, you think you've got it bad, I've got it worse. Somebody that can just sit in the boat with you. Be Jesus in that situation. Okay? So the band are going to come and play a song for us now just to listen, just to be at peace. We're going to sing the one I think we're doing at communion later. And if you're in the prayer team, if you wouldn't mind making yourself available, please. We've got 5 minutes before the kids need to come in. Let's just take it. Yeah? Should we take it and consolidate what God's done within us? And if this is your moment just to listen, fantastic. If you need someone to pray with you, go for it. But just listen to the words. Be at peace and then we'll sing together before the kids come in. All right? Father, we just thank you for your word this morning. We thank you, Jesus, that you are indeed our Prince of Peace. We thank you, Jesus, that you long to reach out to us. You long to put your hand in our lives and to restore our faith, our peace, and our control with you, Father, in all situations. Lord, we just give you this moment. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that gently you come and work within us. Where we just need to take a deep breath and relax in your presence, you would help us do that now, Lord. Where you need us to just mull through some situations, give us courage, Lord.